missions kinds of updates. But if you're intrigued by that, especially if it deals with Ukraine, stop me after the service, because there's some exciting things happening there. But we're here to interact with, not just to worship and interact with God in that way, but to interact with how God speaks to us through his word. So in a moment, we're going to go to God's word in the Gospel of John. So you might want, if you have your Bibles with you, I'll clue you in now, and I'll invite you again in a few moments to turn with me to John chapter 1. This is Christmas weekend. We're part of the 12 days of Christmas right now. Believe it or not, we're in that period. And this is still the time of celebration where we're reflecting on Emmanuel, God with us. And we're reflecting on and celebrating how God is with us and how he became one of us. And we remember these things and we celebrate these things. That's what Christmas is all about, a celebration of the incarnation of the living God. And along the way, we ask questions. In fact, if you go back really throughout the whole history of mankind, you see questions like, what if God was one of us, kind of pop up. Maybe not in those words, maybe not that exact phraseology, but those are the kinds of questions we ask throughout our lives. And in fact, we even see it worked into a popular culture on occasion. In 1995, there was a singer named Joan Osborne who raised this very question in the form of a popular song. And again, it's a question that has resonated with us as human beings for all of our history. What if God, whoever God is, what if he was one of us? Now, I could read you the lyrics to that song. They're sort of all right lyrics. It's not a song I would highly recommend, but it's a song that really intrigues me. Because as far as I know, this singer, songwriter, is not a Christian, not a Christ follower, at least wasn't at that time. So to be asking those kinds of questions in a poetic way was very striking to me the first time I heard it on the radio. You guys up here were like, 1995, was I even? Yeah, I think I was. Never mind. When you get older, you start thinking that way. Like everybody younger, it's like, were you even alive back then? 1995. Does anybody remember that song I'm referring to? Okay, so about a third of us here. The rest of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. That's okay, because your generation had similar songs. I can't name them. But every generation has had songs and poetry that raises a question very similar to this. Maybe not in those exact words, maybe not that exact phrase, but still raises those questions. What if God was one of us? Now let that question sink in for a moment. What if God was one of us? Now realize that we actually have an answer to that question. We've been singing about it. That's why we gather to worship, because we have an answer to that question. God did become one of us, right? And how did he become one of us? In what person did he become human? Jesus Christ. God did become one of us. But now the question becomes, who is Jesus? Not a new question. Not a question that maybe we're asking right this moment. But it's a question many of our friends and coworkers and neighbors might be asking. It's a question that's been asked for 2,000 years or more. Who is this Jesus? People have asked that question throughout the centuries. It's been brought up in philosophical discussions. It's been brought up in theological debates and popular works of art like songs. Within our regular conversations. Within our Christmas cards. How many Christmas cards? There's not as many Christmas cards out there anymore. I don't know if you've noticed that. Full confession, we stopped sending Christmas cards ourselves about 5 or 6 years ago. It just wasn't. The sentiment is beautiful, but the postage is ridiculously high. And when you have a long list of people to send cards to, but I digress. Do you remember getting cards? We still receive cards, although I know we have received far fewer cards in recent years than we used to. And that's the beauty, I guess, of electronic technology. But even the Christmas cards, how many Christmas cards reflect this type of a question? This idea of what if God was one of us or who is Jesus? And they give an answer right there. Even if the card writers don't believe it themselves, we are given answers at this time of the year. We have people singing our songs who aren't even believers in the Lord Jesus Christ yet. That's what I love about Christmas. They're singing our songs. They're singing our songs. We've each asked that question, haven't we? At some point, who is Jesus? At some point in our life, we have asked that very question. And we tell stories about him, and we hear people refer to him. And the question is still out there. Who is Jesus? Now, where do we turn to get an answer? It's okay to answer out loud. You have my permission. We turn to the Bible. We turn to the scriptures. Let's look at the preview to John's gospel recorded in John chapter 1. Again, if you have your Bibles with you or if you prefer to use an electronic device, an app on your phone or whatever, or perhaps even better if you decide to just listen, I'll even invite you to, invite you to close your eyes and listen. Just as long as you promise that you will open your eyes after. This is God's word that we're about to interact with. And as we go to God's word, would you join me in prayer? Most gracious God, whose incarnation we celebrate this season, you are the giver of this word. Would you take this portion of this word of yours that we're about to read and interact with, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand what you are saying to us in John chapter 1? And would you take this portion of your word and cause it to take deep root in our souls? And would you take it and cause it to bear fruit in our lives individually, but also our life corporately as your people? Would you speak to us in these moments? This is our prayer, and we ask it in the name of Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, at work within us and among us. Amen. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not from physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Now, I'm going to pause there for a moment, and we'll jump back into the remaining verses in the passage that we're focusing on. Because I want to go back to this question, who is Jesus? And I want to pull out the general answer. He is the Word. That's what we see here. That's what God is reminding us of here. He is the Word. Jesus existed before time, before all of creation. He existed in fellowship with God, not just with God, but as God himself. Amen. He is God. The Word was God and is God. He was not created. He's an eternal being. He is God. And as the Word, as the God man, He was the one sent from God to do God's work, the one who speaks God's word directly. Jesus is God speaking to us. He is God's thoughts expressed so that humans can understand them. He is the Word. And as the Word, He is the agent of creation. We're reminded here by John that everything owes its existence to Him, to the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we read further on that He is the light of mankind. He is the source of supernatural eternal life, a light that allows us to recognize God's work in the world, a light that was given to us by God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to give us faith. A faith that pierces the darkness of our doubts. A faith that pierces the shadows of our unbelief. Without this light, we remain lost in the dark. Without this light, we continue to stumble around in confusion to find our own way to God. Our own way to something bigger and better than ourselves. Our own way into the God's kingdom, what we call heaven. An eternal life. Who is Jesus? He is the Word. Long before any of us were here, and long before anyone would hear and sing of such matters for an entire season, people like John the Baptist spoke of these things and prepared people for this amazing incarnation of God Himself, for the arrival of the Word. Now, some we're reminded of here rejected this. Some rejected the Word. They failed to see that He is God. Still others received and welcomed this reality, right? They welcomed this reality that the eternal Word and the light of mankind became human. They became the children of God through spiritual rebirth given by God Himself. In light of this, now we can get a little more specific with an answer to the question, who is Jesus? Let's look at verses 14 to 18. What does John say? So the Word became human. The Word became flesh and made His home among us. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the scripture, The Message, phrases it as the Word became human and moved into the neighborhood. The Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about Him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for He existed long before me. From His abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is Himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." And this is the word of the Lord from the New Living Translation. Who is Jesus? Here's the specific answer that we see here. He's not just the Word, but He is the Word who became human. He is Emmanuel. We've been singing all kinds of songs about that, right? We've been praying. We've been begging. Oh, come, Emmanuel. God with us. That's the Word. That is Jesus. That is God who became human. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is a prophecy that has been fulfilled, those ancient words of prophecy, that someday there will be a Savior. Someday there will be a Messiah. Someday there will be someone who will deliver you from everything that you're struggling with. He will deliver you from your sin and your captivity and all the results of sin. And that someday arrived the moment Jesus was born. He is Emmanuel. And He is a real person within human history. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully human, living temporarily among us as if camping in a tent. That's the literal image that's given here, that he tabernacled among us. John gives us a beautiful reference back to the Old Testament, because the tabernacle was the God's presence on earth. If you go back to the book of Exodus and you see Israel's wilderness experience that's recorded there, and you see that God literally dwelt in a tent, in a tabernacle, where they gathered to worship. And eventually the tabernacle that moved everywhere that they went, eventually that became the temple based in Jerusalem. And the Holy of Holies was there, and God was present there. And then came Jesus. God with us. And as we skip ahead down the story, and we always talk about how we're Easter Christians, let's remember there's not an Easter without a Christmas, right? They go together. But as we go down to that moment of Easter, we see that that everything changed when Jesus died on the cross. The veil, the separating curtain in the temple that prevented just anyone from seeing the face of God or the presence of God, really, that was removed, because that was the final statement of, hey, I told you, I am Emmanuel, I am with you, I have made it possible to be in the presence of God. Jesus tabernacled among us. The glory of God in human form. Not as a weird kind of, well, I'm like a human, but as a full human being. We hear it expressed in many Christmas songs about the Word of God who had to learn to speak. And we read about, we don't read very much in the Gospels about, we really read hardly anything at all about the childhood of Jesus, but he had to learn to walk. He had to learn to crawl. He skinned his knee many times. He did all of those things. He was fully human, and yet he was fully God. The glory of God, the very presence of God among us. He is the Word who came as the new image of the wilderness tabernacle. He was the new place where God would be present among his people. And that is what we mean by the incarnation. Fancy theological word that we just kind of throw around, but that's exactly what we're talking about. The incarnation is God became one of us. God became human. We get a little further insight from Pastor David Mathis. He writes these words: "So the eternal Son of God, without ceasing to be God, took on a fully human nature. And what a magnificent truth and fuel for worship this is. Jesus didn't just become man because he could. This was no circus stunt. This wasn't just for show. He became man, in the word of the ancient creed, for us and for our salvation. The eternal Word became frail human flesh and blood to save us from our sin and to free us to marvel at and enjoy the unique union of divinity and humanity in his one spectacular person. The incarnation is not only the way in which Jesus became Emmanuel, God with us, but it's an eternal testimony that he and his Father are unswervingly for us. God with us." We see that the Word became flesh, but we recognize that he was more than a mere man. Fully God, fully man. He is the eternal God, this Jesus, whom we worship and love and adore. Fully God, the eternal God, the one who reflects God's glory, the one who makes God known to us. That's the Jesus we worship. This is the Jesus who is the source of our redemption. He is the source of truth. He is the source of love and security and peace. He is the source of our eternal life. That's who Jesus is. He is the one who continuously gives undeserved favor, what we call grace, to those who deserve to die. Who is Jesus? He is the one. He is the God-man. So ask yourself again, what if God was one of us? What if God was one of us? What did the scriptures say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. The answer to the question, what if God was one of us, is very simple. God did become one of us. He did become one of us. His name, as you know, is, let's say it together, Jesus. I'm not sure if you heard me. Facebook, join with us. His name is Jesus. He is the one who was sent to do God's work as the divine revealer of God's wisdom and God's power. He is the one through whom the world was created. He is the one that the world keeps going. He's the one who sustains all of life within his creation. He is the eternal one who became a human being. He is the one who continues to make God known to us. He is the one who continues to do everything and the one who desires to be in relationship with us. Let that one sink in for a moment. God of the universe, the one who created everything, who keeps it going with the power of his word, dared to become one of us because he wants to be in relationship with us. Do you recognize him? Do you recognize this eternal God in the person of Jesus? Do you accept him as the source of true life? Are you yourself a true child of God? Not in the sense of, well, we're all God's children because God created us, but in the sense of you have received salvation from God through Jesus Christ. God has made himself known to us. He continues to make himself known to us. Now each of us must decide, what are we going to do with that? Each of us has that decision to make. What difference does that make in our lives? So, my dear friends, are we groping about in the dark, searching for answers in all the wrong places? It's not going to get you very far. Or can we clearly see the glory of God? Not just on display in creation, but on full display in the person of Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate this season. All as the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us. Most gracious God, we humbly ask that you do what only you can do in these moments. Again, we ask that you take this portion of your word and you drive it down deep within us, not to just merely ponder on, but to respond to. You have already made yourself known to us. Give us eyes to see and courage to believe and to follow. Keep us from ever forgetting who you are and what you have done for us. And give us the courage and the boldness to live differently as your children, as your people. This we ask in the name of Jesus, the eternal Word, our Savior and our King, through the power of your Holy Spirit at work within us and among us.